From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says Iran faces an uphill challenge if it sticks to its claim that the country's nuclear program is for peaceful purposes following disclosure of a previously secret uranium enrichment facility.
We don't believe that they can present convincing evidence that it's only for peaceful purposes, but we are going to put them to the test on October 1st.
Clinton on CBS's Face the Nation, referring to multinational talks with Iran this week in which the country's disputed nuclear program will be at the top of the agenda. Defense Secretary Robert Gates says Iran faces severe additional sanctions if it does not come clean about its nuclear activities. Iran's state radio says the government will test fire a long-range missile tomorrow, a missile which defense analysts say could hit Israel and U.S. bases in the Persian Gulf. Dale Gavlak reports.
State radio said the Iranian-made surface-to-surface Shahab-3 missile would be tested on the second day of military maneuvers by the elite Revolutionary Guards. The missile, tested several times in the past, can travel over 1,000 miles. Today, Iran successfully test-fired short-range missiles to show it was ready to defend itself, just days after news of Tehran's new atomic facility sparked a global outcry. Iran will hold rare talks Thursday in Geneva with world powers worried about its nuclear ambitions. For NPR News, I'm Dale Gavlak in Amman.
President Obama has phoned German Chancellor Angela Merkel to congratulate her on her re-election. The victory opens the way for Merkel to form a new governing coalition in Germany with the pro-business Free Democrats. Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and writer William Safire has died. He was a longtime columnist for The New York Times and a former speechwriter for President Richard Nixon. NPR's Laura Sullivan has more.
The 79-year-old Safire was the unofficial arbiter of language. For the past 30 years, he wrote the column on language for The New York Times, dissecting the origins of words and phrases. He stopped writing his regular Political Times op-ed columns in 2005. The novelist, speechwriter, and self-described libertarian drew some criticism in recent years for calling for war with Iraq and insisting there was a connection between Saddam Hussein and the 9/11 attacks, even though that theory has been debunked. Nevertheless, his provocative and compelling columns drew fervent fans and admirers. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2006. Before joining the Times, Safire worked in a public relations firm. He joined the Nixon White House in 1968. He died in hospice in Rockville, Maryland, of cancer. Laura Sullivan, NPR News, Washington.
A Burlington Northern Santa Fe train hauling coal in Wyoming has derailed. It was the second derailment in less than a day for the freight rail company, which says it has ruled out sabotage as a cause. This is NPR News from Washington. Seven NATO troops have been killed in fighting in Afghanistan, including two U.S. military personnel. Afghanistan's energy minister is threatening to resign after an assassination attempt against him killed several civilians. A suicide car bomber struck a convoy carrying Ismail Khan to an airport. The bomb exploded outside a high school, killing five and wounding 17 other people, including four of Khan's bodyguards. Khan was not hurt. The Taliban is claiming responsibility for the attack. The Detroit Lions have finally ended their 19-game losing streak, but most hometown fans of the team were prevented from watching the game. From member station WDET, Quinn Kleinfelter explains.
Detroit rode the strong arm of highly touted rookie quarterback Matthew Stafford and tough running by Kevin Smith to hold off a last-minute charge by the Washington Redskins and win 19-14. The Lions' Smith carried more than Redskins' defenders on his back. He drug a losing streak stretching back to December 2007, including an historically futile winless season last year. So the win means much to fans of Detroit, perhaps the nation's most economically ravaged region and desperately in need of glad tidings. Yet someone outside the city had to tell most Lions fans the score. The game was blacked out from television in Detroit under NFL rules because too few tickets had been sold for the contest at the hometown Ford Field. For NPR News, I'm Quinn Kleinfelter in Detroit.
Gasoline prices are easing now that the summer driving season is over. The Lundberg Survey of gas stations finds the average price of self-service regular has dropped nearly 7 cents a gallon over the past 2 weeks, down to a national average of $2.52 a gallon. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News in Washington.